with sadness, and my life is all a prayer. Come to me to Calvary, wash me by the river shore. Now I don't have much money. Jesus knows me by name, and although I was nothing, now to heaven I will go.
Once again today, we're going to be reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, that being verses 39 through 43. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the great salvation that you have provided in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for being able to open once again thy precious word and bring another message. As we bring the message today, I pray that you will speak to me and speak through me. Help me to say every word that needs to be said. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the fifth part of the message entitled, The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross. In the weeks prior, we have given an introduction concerning the seven sayings of Christ from the cross. My friend, while Christ hung upon the cross at Calvary, he spoke seven sayings or seven words. Seven in the Word of God is a numerical number for perfection. We find perfection in these death cries of Jesus Christ. Now, these seven sayings of Christ can be looked at as follows. The first saying of Christ from the cross involves intercession. The second saying involves salvation. The third saying involves affection. The fourth saying involves desolation. The fifth saying involves lamentation. The sixth saying involves jubilation. And the seventh saying involves resignation. Now, during this series, we're only dealing with the second saying of Christ from the cross. The second saying of Christ from the cross is set before us here in Luke chapter 23. Here in verses 39 through 43, we find the second saying of Christ from the cross, as well as the last two companions of Christ upon this earth before his death. Here in Luke chapter 23, we find Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves. Now God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves for various reasons. One reason that God allowed his beloved Son to be crucified between two thieves was so that in these three crosses and the ones that hung upon them, we would have a representation of the drama of salvation and man's response thereto. My friend, here in verses 39 through 43, we have three crosses. And we find three things. First, we find the sinner rejecting in verse 39. Second, we find the sinner receiving in verses 40 through 42. And then third, we find the Savior redeeming in verse 43. Now, in the weeks prior, we have already dealt with the most part of verse number 39. Here in verse number 39, we find the sinner rejecting. The sinner rejecting. We've already dealt with the most part of this verse. The word rail here in verse 39 means to blaspheme. It means to defame, to revile, to speak evil of. We have dealt with this in the weeks prior. Not only that, but we have also dealt with the fact that this thief here, in verse number 39, was influenced by the crowd. If you will read verses 35 through 37 earlier in this chapter, and then read verse number 39, you will find that this thief was speaking the language of the crowd. He was saying the same thing that the crowd was saying. I think he was influenced by the crowd. Not only that, but we prove from the Word of God that this wicked crowd that was on Calvary that day, as well as this thief in verse 39, was under the direction and influence of the devil. In Matthew chapter 4, when the devil came to tempt the Lord Jesus, he said, If thou be the Son of God, my friend, the wicked crowd on Calvary was saying, if thou be the Son of God. This thief in verse number 39 was saying, if thou be Christ. This tells us that this wicked crowd, as well as this thief in verse 39, was listening to the devil. They were saying exactly what the devil wanted them to say. Most certainly this is so. My friend, the devil wants people to doubt the deity of Christ. He wants people to doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He wants people to doubt that Jesus Christ was God in flesh. But listen. You will believe that Jesus Christ was God in flesh, or die in your sins and go to hell. You can read it in John chapter 8, verses 20 through 24. No one goes to heaven denying that Jesus Christ was God in flesh. Now, in the weeks prior, we have already dealt with the words, if thou be Christ, as we find them here in verse number 39. We have already dealt with the first part of what this thief said, as is recorded in verse number 39, if thou be Christ. At this time, I want to deal with the latter part of what this thief said. Here we find further that he said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Save thyself and us. At this time, I want to deal with these words. Save thyself and us. In Matthew chapter 27, and in verses 38 and following, the Word of God says this. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Notice what they said. They said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Listen, my friend, Jesus Christ could not save himself because he would not save himself. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ could not save himself because he would not save himself. Jesus Christ was strong enough not to save himself. He was strong enough to be weak enough to die. He was strong enough to be weak enough to die. And we find, my friend, that Jesus Christ can save others because he will not save himself. Well, sure, this is so. Notice further here in Matthew 27 and verse 42. The Word of God says, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Notice what they said. They said, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. My friend, if Jesus Christ had come down from the cross, they still would not have believed. The world says seeing is believing. But God says believing is seeing. My friend, if Jesus Christ had come down from the cross, they still would not have believed. According to Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31, if a person will not hear the Word of God, if a person will not listen to the Word of God, if a person will not believe the Word of God, that person wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead and preached to them. This wicked crowd that said, let him come down from the cross that we may see and believe, would not have believed if Christ had come down from the cross. Now let me say this as well. This wicked crowd on Calvary that day, as well as this thief here in verse 39, challenged Christ to come down from the cross. But my friend, when they challenged Christ to come down from the cross, Christ did not say a word. He did not say a word to the challenge. He was silent. He was silent. And the silence seemed to say, you just wait till 3 days and 3 nights, and I'll show you that it's better to come up from a grave than it is to come down from a cross. Oh, yes. Most certainly this is so. Now, at this time, I want to begin dealing with verses 40 through 42. As I said before, here in verses 39 through 43, we find three things. First, the sinner rejecting in verse 39. Second, the sinner receiving in verses 40 through 42. And then, third, we find the Savior redeeming in verse 43. At this time, I want to begin dealing with verses 40 through 42. Here we find the sinner receiving. The sinner receiving. Notice the first word in verse number 40. Here the Word of God says, but. My friend, this word but speaks of a contrast. A contrast. But the other. Here we find another thief. Remember, my friend, that Jesus Christ was crucified between two thieves. Here we find a thief set before us in verse number 39. And we find another thief set before us in verses 40 through 42. Hear the Word of God says, but the other, answering, rebuked him. Here we find this thief set before us in verses 40 through 42, rebuking the other thief mentioned in verse number 39. Now listen carefully. In Matthew chapter 27, and in verses 42 through 44, the Word of God says this. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 44 says, the thieves also. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. I want you to notice that the word thieves is used here in verse number 44. Not the word thief in the singular, but the word thieves in the plural. This has reference to the two thieves that was crucified with Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 15 and in verse number 32, the Word of God says, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Notice that the word they is used here in verse number 32. This word they here has reference to the two thieves that was crucified with Christ. Listen, my friend. When these thieves were first placed on their crosses beside of Jesus Christ, both of these thieves, not just one, but both of these thieves reviled Christ. Both of these thieves spoke evil. But when we come to Luke chapter 23, with verses 40 through 42, we find a change. We find a change. We find this thief set before us in verses 40 through 42, rebuking the other thief, mentioned in verse number 39. Here we find a change. Something had happened. What happened to bring about this change? I believe the answer to this question involves the first saying of Christ from the cross. My friend, there is a close connection between the first and second sayings of Christ from the cross. There is a close connection between these two sayings. Has it ever occurred to you that the first and second sayings of Christ from the cross are recorded by Luke only? These two sayings are not recorded by Matthew, Mark, or John. These two sayings, that being the first and second sayings of Christ from the cross, are recorded by Luke only. And we find that both of them are recorded here closely together in chapter 23. My friend, there's a close connection between the first and second sayings of Christ from the cross. The first saying of Christ from the cross is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Here, verses 33 and 34 says this: "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here we find the first saying of Christ from the cross. It was a word of forgiveness. It was a prayer for his enemies. Here we find Christ saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here we find the first saying of Christ from the cross was a prayer. Was a prayer for his enemies. My friend, the Savior's prayer that's recorded here in verse 34 greatly affected. Are you listening? The Savior's prayer here recorded in verse number 34 greatly affected this thief that is set before us in verses 40 through 42. When this thief, in verses 40 through 42, heard Christ pray for his enemies, it greatly affected him. It greatly affected him. Now let me say this right here as well. Jesus Christ had taught earlier in Matthew 5:44 that Christians are to love their enemies. He had taught that Christians are to pray for those that despitefully use them. Christians are to pray for those that persecute them. And here we find that the first saying of Christ from the cross was a prayer for his enemies. Here we find Christ practicing what he preached. Now listen, my friend, it is not natural for an individual to love their enemies. It is not natural for an individual to pray for their enemies. That's not natural. That is supernatural. That is on a divine plane. And I might say that until those that are unsaved can look at our lives as Christians and see in our lives that which is above the natural, that which is on a divine plane, our lives will not have much effect on them. My friend, when Christ prayed for his enemies, this greatly affected this thief set before us here in verses 3 through 42. That's as far as we're going today with a message entitled "The Second Saying of Christ from the Cross." But in closing, I want to say this. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're lost and on your way to hell. You need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, bow your head and from your heart. Exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you'll know it. Thank you.
I have read how He said, let your heart not be troubled, for I go to prepare you a way. Streets of gold they shall pearl, and this wall of jasper, thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
You've been listening to the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Dyer. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Dyer, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Join us again next week for the Back to Calvary program.
Forever, thank the Lord for His marvelous way.